Good morning, Your Honors, and thank you. I would like to reserve about 5 minutes by way of rebuttal, and I will watch the clock. With me at the council table is Robert Gibbs. This case challenges the discriminatory treatment of religious workers and religious organizations in the United States who employ these foreign workers by the Immigration Service. In particular, we challenge the refusal of the Immigration Service to accept what are called concurrently filed applications filed by the religious workers and their sponsoring organizations. There's an important Supreme Court case that came out recently we think is relevant called Hosanna Tabor, a unanimous Supreme Court decision holding that the importance of protecting the exercise of religion, in particular the importance of protecting the interest of religious groups in choosing who's going to preach their beliefs, teach their faith, and carry out their missions, is an exercise of religion that's protected under the Free Exercise Clause, and in fact trumps the government's interest in the Hosanna Tabor case, trumps the government's interest in anti-discrimination laws. This same exercise of religion, Congress instructs the Immigration Service to protect under RFRA, the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, RFRA. In particular, Congress has instructed all federal agencies to protect the exercise of religion, or not to substantially burden the exercise of religion unless there's a compelling governmental interest at stake. It's important to notice that here the plaintiffs in this case are not challenged. It's not a broad-based challenge to the immigration scheme overall. Plaintiffs are not asking for any change in the substantive immigration laws or any exemptions to the visa requirements. Basically, it's a narrow exemption that plaintiffs think is appropriate here, an exemption to a procedural filing process adopted by the Immigration Service, not adopted by Congress, but by the Immigration Service.
How does the regulation substantially burden you?
Well, under the Navajo Nation case, the Ninth Circuit has adopted a test for determining whether or not there's a substantial burden. The government policy forces a person to choose between exercising religion and receiving a government benefit, or alternatively, the government individuals are required to cease exercising their religion in order to avoid civil or criminal penalties. Now that, I think in this case, should be quite clear that there is a substantial burden on the plaintiffs, on both.
Well, you aren't being asked to cease practicing, your clients aren't being asked to cease practicing their religion.
Well,
if they did, they would lose their right to be here under a religious visa in the first place, wouldn't they?
Well, they are being forced to. There's a burden and interference with the plaintiffs, both the religious workers and the religious organization, with their exercise of religion. Just, you know, for example, consider Father Kasyanov, a priest in the Ukrainian Orthodox Church, who has he's on a temporary visa, allowed to work as a priest in the United States for 5 years. As that 5-year period is coming to an end, he and the church are facing a difficult problem. The church doesn't have any other priests available to minister to the congregation. When his 5-year time is coming to an end, he has a choice to make, and the church has a choice to make. They can continue to exercise their religion. That is to say, he can continue to minister at this church where he's been called. That quite clearly under Supreme Court case law is an exercise of religion, working in a particular place with a particular community. If he can file his application for adjustment of status, then he's allowed to stay here and continuing to minister to this community. On the other hand, if the Immigration Service refuses to accept that application, as they do, then he's got a choice. If he stays further, he's going to be arrested and subject to deportation proceedings. And the church, if they continue to employ this worker, is going to be subject to civil and criminal penalties. So that, under the Navajo Nation test,
all the church has to do is simultaneously file a petition, right?
If the Immigration Service would allow that, that's correct. But the problem is the Immigration Service will not allow that. According to their policy, religious workers are not allowed to file concurrently. And so when the religious...
So they have to file it first.
They file concurrently. They can file at the same time.
But I'm just saying, what? Maybe I'm missing how this regulation works, but doesn't the... If the church goes ahead and files a petition for a visa, and then he files his status application, everything should work out okay, right?
The problem is the Immigration Service will not allow him, the religious worker, to file his status application, adjustment of status application, until that first petition has been approved by the Immigration Service.
Right. So what's and how long does that take?
Well, that can take. I mean, we've had some of the individuals who have been waiting for 2 years for that application to be used.
Counsel, how do you? This case was before us before, not this panel, but for the Ninth Circuit, and we said the real problem here. You were challenging the statute as in the regulation as in violation of the statute, and. Isn't that correct? And we rejected that argument.
That's correct. The court rejected it.
And we said your real problem is that the system operates too slowly, but that doesn't invalidate the regulation. Now, why isn't that equally applicable here?
Well, what this court held the first time around is that the Immigration Service adoption of that regulation does not violate the immigration statute. That is to say, the Immigration Service has the authority to adopt certain processing rules, how to process applications. But just because it does that doesn't mean that there's not a violation of RFRA. Just because it can adopt that regulation consistent with the immigration statute does not mean that that statute, that immigration policy, does not interfere with a person's exercise of religion.
Well, how does the delay interfere with your with the exercise of religion?
Well, it's whether or not there's a delay. That what interferes with a person's exercise of religion is the refusal of the Immigration Service to accept this application. By refusing to accept the application,
no, they're not refusing to accept it. They're saying we won't accept it until after the church has filed for the visa.
But for somebody, let's say Father Kasyanov again, he comes up to the end of his 5-year period. They refuse and they say, we're not going to accept this until after it's approved. But then once he
maybe I'm missing something in how this all works. What stops the church from filing the visa application now?
The church can file the application anytime it wants.
So they could, if it takes 2 years, they can file it 2 years in advance.
They can do that, although...
So isn't his real quarrel with the church?
No, the problem is that, in many cases, just as in the non-religious, in the secular context, the religious organization doesn't know that it has a need for this person until later on in the process. They might not be aware of the fact, or they might not know that this particular person is going to be needed in this church until further down the road.
Well, I thought in the case you told me, it was clear that there was a need.
There's a need, but that's not necessarily known until toward the end of that 5-year period. So at the
end, you could make the same argument even if your visas were treated the same way as the other categories. You could always say, well. We're going to have to leave because they haven't processed the visa, and that's a violation of RFRA. So that your argument becomes we're entitled to stay here indefinitely while you process the application, and that can't be.
Not at all. I mean, the argument is just. If I understood the question correctly, the fact that the person files the application, let's say, and it is pending, doesn't give the right, it does not give the person the right to continue to stay here.
That's correct.
If the application is denied.
That's correct, but your argument would seem to say that if the church doesn't realize that they need the person until the 5 years is almost expired, that the RFRA requires that you be, that the that the religious worker be entitled to stay here indefinitely until it's processed, and that can't be right.
But the fact that the religious worker can stay here indefinitely or until the application is decided, that's a matter that's already on the books. That's part of the regulations.
I understand that, but your argument would seem to say that that's invalid also under RFRA. To have any limit as long as you're a religious worker.
Okay, I think I understand. Yeah. But that's not our argument. If the argument is that, oh, the person should be allowed to stay here indefinitely, even
no,
if...
No, I'm just saying the thrust of it would take you to that position.
Well, no, I don't think it would, because if the application is denied, the fact that it's denied does not give the person necessarily a right to stay here indefinitely. A person in that context may argue that there's been...
But until it is acted upon appears to be your argument.
I guess I'm missing the question. I'm sorry.
Well, Counsel, I know you want to answer Judge Schroeder fully, but you wanted to make a rebuttal argument. So if you want to stop now, you can, during your rebuttal, you can think about what Judge Schroeder's asking you and comment further.
Okay, I will. I would like to reserve the balance of the time. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, Ms. Liebman.
Good morning, Your Honors, and may it please the Court. My name is Melissa Liebman, and I represent the United States in this case. As this Court recognizes...
Does it routinely take 2 years and more to approve the visa applications of the churches?
No, Your Honor. The national processing times on average take 5 months for special immigrant religious worker visa petitions, and the processing times have been on average 5 months since this case was last here for Ruiz Diaz-1. The agency has strived to ensure that the average processing time is 5 months. So the situations that...
Is that in this record?
It's not in the record, Your Honor. And we have made that claim, and we made that claim the last time we were here, and that is publicly available information on USCIS's website. There is a mechanism that will chart out processing times, and they have made that available to the public. And each month they publish what the average processing times are, and they have maintained that 5 month average by consolidating all of the petitions at one CIS service center in California. So the situations that appellants are mentioning, they are the outliers. They are not the norm. And additionally, there was a period of time when the agency was struggling because of the concerns about fraud in the system. They implemented a system whereby for each petition, there is a division within USCIS that goes to the place where the church allegedly exists, and they look to see if there is actually a church there or a religious organization, and that takes additional time, and staffing took a while, and so there was a period of time when the average processing times were more than 5 months, but for the past few years, they have remained at a five-month average.
Now, there's... A church have to know for sure that they're going to need this worker in order to have a qualified petition. What do they have to allege in terms of need for the worker?
Well, in order to establish eligibility for the special immigrant religious worker visa petition classification, one of the primary requirements is that the individual have worked for 2 years doing the same kind of work for the same type of organization. And so there is a requirement they have been doing work for 2 years similar to the type that they will be sponsored for. However, that work can take place outside of the United States, and therefore a religious organization could petition for a lawful permanent resident status for a beneficiary before that person enters the United States, and therefore there never will be a need for a change in status. But if they do determine that there is a need after the person is here for 2 years, presumably on a religious work or non-immigrant visa, then that the maximum amount of time is 5 years. So if they're here for 2 years, after that initial two-year period, they can go ahead and file the petition, and there will still be 3 years left on that person's non-immigrant visa status. Plus, the adjustment of status statute provides an additional waiver of up to 180 days. So an individual who is here on non-immigrant religious worker status gets an additional 180 days on top of that five-year period.
Are the religious workers the only workers who are not permitted to file applications concurrently with the employer?
No, Your Honor, they are not the only individuals. The regulation permits individuals who are classified in the first three preference categories of employment-based immigrant visas, the EB1, EB2, and EB3 categories. The EB4 and EB5 categories are not as a whole permitted to concurrently file. There are some exceptions within the Special Immigrant Religious Worker Visa Program, but they are not all addressed at individuals who are coming with the purpose of work.
Well, what other kinds of people are treated similarly to the religious workers?
Well, the entire EB5 category is treated the same way. They're not permitted to
concurrently. Who are they?
That is for treaty investors and individuals who are necessary to a treaty investment operation. And other categories in the EB4 category are similarly not permitted, include translators, international broadcasters. I'm sorry, but I can't remember.
Okay.
But there's a list, and it is in the briefs, Your Honor. Other ones that the groups in the special immigrant category that are permitted to concurrently file are individuals like special immigrant juveniles who have established that they have been abused, abandoned, and neglected. They're permitted to concurrently file, and in order to file for that status, they need to have a predicate order from a state court saying that they are abused, abandoned, and neglected, for example.
So what happens if a church files a petition, say, 6 months before the employee's visa is about to expire, and at that time they think they have a need for this person, then we come down to, say, a month or so before the approval would normally come under what you've been telling us, and they find they don't have a need, do they have to withdraw the petition?
If the church no longer intends to sponsor that beneficiary, they cannot, and they don't intend to actually hire that person permanently, then that petition is not no longer valid.
So now what happens if, in a different scenario, they think they're going to hire this person, they're pretty sure, they file the petition is approved, and then before the employee's application can be approved, they suffer financial reverses or something, and they can no longer hire. What happens then?
This status is ties the religious worker to the church. Once the church no longer intends to sponsor that specific beneficiary, the person's status is no longer valid here in the United States. That is different from employment-based visas in other categories, where if a petitioner or employer no longer intends to sponsor that beneficiary, there are provisions in the statutes that allow that person to port their application to another employer.
So
that doesn't exist here.
I mean, what you're saying is that the church has to have a pretty good certainty that they're going to be hiring this person when they file their petition and when the employee files his application, because if it changes at any time during that period, the whole thing falls apart. Yes?
I believe so, Your Honor. I believe that that church would want to know, and that ties to Pallant's argument that they might not know initially.
Yeah. I mean, unlike the people in the higher statuses who can file simultaneously, they're in a position to know right then and there. We are filing simultaneously today, the employer and the employee, because we both know that we're going to need this guy. But here, there's a bigger delay built in, so you have to exercise, if you will, more foresight as to what your situation is going to be 6 months, a year hence.
Well, Your Honor, there are two things that I have to say in response. First of all, the plaintiffs' appellants in this case are arguing that there is a dearth of individuals who are available to perform these duties, and therefore, if there is such an unavailability of these individuals, one would assume that they would have a sense much before the very last minute that they're going to need this individual. Furthermore, the statutes provide for the EB-3s, for example, for the H-1Bs, the statutory provisions provide that once that immigrant petition is filed, they can extend the employers can extend the status. So whereas the religious workers have a 5-year hardline stop with respect to non-immigrant status, the other statutes don't necessarily provide such a hardline stop. Those individuals, once they have a labor certification application approved or employment-based visa petition pending for more than a year, those individuals can have extensions indefinitely. That doesn't exist here. Congress didn't intend for that to happen for non-immigrant religious workers. They intended for a 5-year period of time, and the requirement in the statute is that that individual leave the United States for at least a year before they can return, and that individual can return after that 1-year period outside the United States. What is clear here is that if the church doesn't know they have the 5-year period plus that 180 days extra time, if the petition is not approved within that amount of time, the individual can leave the United States for a short period of time. Let's say it's another month before the visa petition is approved, and they can apply at a consular office abroad to come here into the United States with that lawful permanent resident status. The inability to concurrently file doesn't prevent religious workers from becoming lawful permanent residents. It merely means that if there is a delay longer than the period of time it takes to finish their status here, that they may be required to temporarily leave the United States. It's only once that individual stays here beyond their permitted status, beyond that additional 180 days past the 5-year period, that they may fall out of status such that they will be ineligible for the lawful permanent resident status.
Don't they have to, in order to get here in the first place as religious workers, don't they have to have a job, or do they?
Some of the individuals who are applying for this benefit have been here in visitor status, for example. Those individuals may not be eligible for a lawful permanent residence.
No, I'm talking about the 5-year religious worker status.
Yes, Your Honor, the religious worker status, they are required to have status in the United States in order to work on behalf of a religious organization. There are cases where individuals did not have non-immigrant status and they are applying for this benefit and they are just not qualified to be classified within this category. In fact,
when you say this benefit, are you talking about the lawful permanent residence?
Yes, Your Honor. There are many individuals who are beneficiaries of religious worker visa petitions are just not qualified to have a visa approved for them to be here permanently to work for a church. the exhibits that we presented show that in many years, the same number of visa petitions that have been approved, there's been almost the same number of visa petitions denied. And therefore, there are a large number of individuals who are applying or petitioning on behalf of individuals for this status that are just not eligible. Your Honors, this regulation does not create a substantial burden on behalf of religious exercise. It just doesn't meet the test that was set out by this court in Navajo Nation. The regulation doesn't force plaintiffs to choose between practicing their religious beliefs and receiving a government benefit, and it does not coerce them to act contrary to their beliefs to avoid facing criminal or civil penalties. Congress created the time limits. The only reason why an individual would be required to leave the United States is because the terms of their visa status have expired, not because they're here doing religious exercise. It's merely because of the structure of the visa program that Congress created that requires some individuals to leave the United States. Navajo Nation says that not every burden on religious exercise meets this test. The court indicated that there may be a burden, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it falls under the substantial burden test. Additionally, Your Honors, this regulation does not discriminate. It merely provides for processing to ensure that the individuals who apply for a visa petition are qualified before they may go on to the next step. It's not intended to discriminate. The whole program is meant to permit individuals to come to the United States to perform religious work. Therefore, it cannot be said that a mere processing regulation that ensures that the individuals who come here are in fact bona fide religious workers is discriminatory. I'm running out of time, Your Honors. The regulation is not a violation of equal protection, and it's also not a due process violation. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. We thank the government, and Mr. Powell, you've got...
Yes, just in response first to the government's argument that this policy does not impose a substantial burden on the religious workers and the organizations. First of all, the statute says, and I quote, the RFRA says, government shall not substantially burden a person's exercise of religion. The government shall not burden. So when we have Father Kasyanov coming up to the end of his five-year period, he's statutorily eligible for adjustment of status. He's statutorily eligible to file this application. The religious organization, his church, has previously filed the initial application, and he says, I want to file this application so that I can stay in the United States while it's being adjudicated. And the Immigration Service says, no, we're not going to accept that application. That there, the government, the Immigration Service, is imposing a substantial burden on the exercise of religion. If he continues to stay here, he's going to be in violation, subject to arrest and deportation. What the plaintiffs asked for is just an accommodation, a limited accommodation. Under these circumstances, the application for adjustment of status should be accepted. That would allow Father Kasyanov to stay in the United States while it's being adjudicated under ordinary immigration laws. Now, if that application, and I'm not sure this answers your question, but I hope it does. If that application is denied, then at that point, Father Kasyanov may make the argument, oh, you're going to continue to burden my exercise of religion. At that point, what accommodation is he asking for? Well, he's asking for an exception to the visa requirements, to the substantive eligibility requirements, which he wants to change in the substantive law. There, the government has a compelling interest in upholding those laws. And so when that application is finally denied, he may be required to leave the United States, and RFRA may not help him in that context. But with respect to this initial application, where there's clearly a substantial burden on him and the church, and all he's asking for is that the Immigration Service accept this application that he's statutorily eligible for and let him stay while it's being processed, that narrow accommodation is what RFRA authorizes.
I understand what you're saying, but it just seems to me that any time you come up, even if you were permitted to file concurrently, you would argue that if it's going to take them more time to process it, that RFRA would say that you have a right to stay here. That seems to be what where you're going with RFRA. And
The question would be, is there a compelling governmental interest in forcing this person to leave the United States while the application is pending under RFRA, right? If there's a substantial burden on the exercise, then the second question is, can the government show that there's a compelling interest to force this person to leave the United States, and is this forcing the person to leave the least restrictive means? Now, when a person files the application for adjustment of status and work authorization, the Immigration Service can, if they think fraud is involved, they can deny that application immediately, or they can send out a request for evidence to show that the application, they do not have to give a work authorization document if they really believe that there's fraud involved. There are mechanisms by which the Immigration Service can deal with their concerns, short of forcing everybody to leave the United States, that all the religious workers.
Are you familiar with counsel's claim that it's now only taking about 5 months to process the petitions?
Yes, we are.
And is that accurate?
That information comes off the USCIS website, which specifically says that that's only an estimate and cannot be relied on. Our experience is that it's variable. There are some cases in which cases are adjudicated that quickly, some cases in which they're not. But in any event, we believe that religious organizations should be treated just the same as non-religious or secular organizations. Secular organizations can wait till the last minute. They may not know who they need, which workers they need in order to best generate their profits. They can file the application for adjustment of status at the last minute. Religious organizations should be well. What that shows is that there's not really a compelling governmental interest in forcing these religious workers to leave the United States. There are other ways that the Immigration Service can accomplish its objectives without refusing to accept the applications filed by religious workers.
Hey, Mr. Powell, I'm sorry, but your time is up. Unless one of the other panel judges has a question, we'll just have to commend you and Ms. Liebman for fine arguments.
Thank you.
Tough case. Okay, thank you both. Okay, Ruiz-Diaz v. United States is submitted.